الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله أهلين قالوا من هم يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل القرآن رواه النسائي وابن ماجه بإسناد حسن. Respected scholars, ulama, brothers, senior and young, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's indeed a privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered here for the sole purpose of participating in the completion of the Quran by five young students of this masjid. To understand this achievement, one needs to appreciate the daily pattern that these kids go through. And there is a huge lesson for us all in this. This child wakes up early in the morning prior to going to school, runs back home, whether he has eaten or not eaten, does wudu and sits to pray again, and all the time in his mind is the tension. That tension can only be understood by those who have completed hifz. It is the tension of his, what we refer to as sabak. His worry, his concern of whether he does or he does not know what he is about to recite in front of his tutor. For 2 years, 3 years, for some 4 years, this has been the pattern. Coming to masjid, going back home, eating, not eating, quickly doing the homework, and coming back and opening the Quran again before he goes to sleep. The pattern of this young child who literally snatches away his free time. That time where he would rather be playing FIFA 15 is now being absorbed and taken up by learning the Quran. Why? Because 24 hours there is a tension in his mind. And that tension is the sabak that he has to give to his tutor the very next day. And after 3-4 years of committing oneself, 3-4 years of disciplining oneself, and 3-4 years of the du'as and the efforts of teachers, of parents, of grandparents, of uncles and brothers and sisters, today we see this day. This is a journey that every child who enters hifz class and completes goes through. And day by day it's becoming more difficult. Those of us who've been through this or have children who go through this will perfectly understand what this cycle involves and how challenging it can be. One must take one's hat off and commend the efforts of their teachers. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Ali Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Salim Desai Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Iqbal Kotwal Sahib. Their efforts are commendable. And if I was to say that without declaring how much each one has done in their lifetime collectively, they have produced nearly 225 huffaz. 225 approximately in their life cycle. This masjid itself, where we are sat. And perhaps this is a good point to inform, Hazrat Maulana will give more details in the end, that inshallah you will have heard and you may have read in the Bolton News, the plan has been approved. And inshallah, very soon we'll be sitting in a new masjid with new facilities. But this masjid, alhamdulillah, to date, and many people, Hazrat Maulana Farooq Sahib is here, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Sahib is here, both my tutors will know its history. To date, when these five individuals complete their Quran, 77 huffaz have been completing here. 77. So one thing we need to understand, our pennies that are being donated, earned by the sweat of our brow, is being served well. Those results are being produced. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help this masjid and any other give us the reward in this world and in the hereafter. 77 huffaz in this masjid, brother, is no joke. Day in, day out, their job is just to listen to the Quran. And that Quran that we have heard, we go to any masjid in Bolton, the Quran will be taught in the same way. And that Quran and the way it's taught and the way it's learned and that recitation goes all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are taught in madrasa according to the riwayat of Hafs, because it's one of the easiest to learn. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, the father of Islamic jurisprudence and law, was taught by Imam Hafs. And his chain goes to Imam Nafi. Imam Nafi, rahmatullahi alayh, as a side point, is that individual when he taught the Quran, when he spoke anything else besides the Quran, mushk would come out from his mouth. Mushk. He was asked, "Ya Ustaz, ya Imam Nafi, what perfume are you using?" He said, "I don't go near any perfume. On one occasion, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams." And to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams, it's as though you have actually seen him, because shaitan cannot impersonate him. Shaitan cannot resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any form. So he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, on that occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mouth was so close to my mouth, he was praying something inside my mouth. Ever since that moment, ever since I woke up, whenever I opened my mouth, musk would come out of it. This is the purity of our chain, how these kids are taught. And how much effort did these great shuyukh, if you travel across the world, or you go on a holiday, most people will listen to the Quran as is taught in this masjid or any masjid in Bolton, according to the way of Imam Hafs. But if you go to Morocco for your holiday or to get married, you may well find you're marrying a spouse who has been taught in a different way, according to the riwayah and narration of Imam Warsh. Imam Warsh, he was an Egyptian. Just to be taught by Imam Nafi rahmatullahi alayh, this great individual who, when he spoke, when he taught the Quran, musks would come out of his mouth. Imam Nafi taught for 70 years in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the children of Sahaba and Tabi'in, the children of the companions of the Prophet and their followers. 70 years. What a life. What a life. Sit down with your own child and teach him for 7 minutes. You will then realize what a task it is and how much effort it takes for this tutor to complete the child to hifz, for hifz. So Imam Warsh traveled all the way from Egypt to Madinatul Munawwara to be taught by Imam Nafi. And the system was, first come, first serve. So Imam Warsh rahmatullahi alayh knew the system. And it was, the queue was so long that Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayh had a system where he organized each pupil could only recite 30 ayats, 30 verses. At the end of 30, the student didn't stop. The ustaz would say, go, your 30 is up. He'd be counting in his mind. Allahu Akbar. Imam Warsh rahmatullah alayh went to so-and-so sheikh and other great sheikhs in Madinatul Munawwara just to get into the queue. When he was presented that this young man has traveled all the way from Egypt just to be taught by yourself and to learn the Quran, he said, okay, tell him to go to the masjid and sleep there. In the morning when Imam Nafi rahmatullahi alayh attended Masjid al-Nabawi for tahajjud prayer, after tahajjud prayers, he called the young man and asked him, abitta fil masjid, did you sleep overnight in the masjid? He said, yes. He said, ikra, read. You are first in the queue. When he started reciting, Egyptians by nature read the Quran beautifully. Such a melodious voice. He started reciting the Quran, Masjid al-Nabawi was pin drop silence. And at the end of 30 ayats, 30 verses, Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi said, qif, stop. But such was the melodious nature of his voice, such was the pleasure and enjoyment that all the students who had queued up for their turn were enjoying. They said, ustaz, we give him 10 verses of ours. There was a collection going on. Imam Warsh rahmatullah alayh has a collection going on for him. Somebody's donating 10 verses, somebody's donating 20 verses out of their own 30. And in that way, Imam Warsh rahmatullah alayh completed the Quran by getting all these donations of ayat in 1 week. Star pupil. And he did this 4 times. Then he returned back to Egypt. So these great individuals went through such a difficult task just to learn the Quran. Let me mention Imam Qalun rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Qalun, who is a student of Imam Nafi. Imam Qalun rahmatullahi alayh could not hear. He had a disability, impairment in his hearing. But when he sat down to listen to the Quran, his ears opened up. Some argue he could lip read, and not only lip read, he could indicate the mistakes. If you go to a country where you do not know the language and you try to communicate just by lip reading or signals, it's a difficult task. But where the Quran is being recited and there you have to take the mistake out of makhraj, how the letter is being pronounced, it becomes all the more difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his ears. Not only that, you may well argue, okay, those were those days and those great individuals. I can tell you very categorically that even in Bolton today, I can think of 2 examples where the Quran is being taught, their hearing is very, very partial, at least in 1 ear. But when they're listening to the Quran, their ear seems to open up. They may well be present here today. And I've heard this from themselves. And a second person in Bolton says, my veins in my mouth are hurting to the extent I cannot sleep at night. Hours on end. And you can imagine what this would do to an individual. I cannot eat. My mood goes off. But when I go to the masjid to teach and I listen to the Quran for 2 hours, I have no problem. The blessing of the Quran in the verse that I've just recited, in the 25th para of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this way, we have sent down ruh. Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh is a great commentator of the Quran. His commentary is best known for bite-sized commentary. And if you match his commentary with the words of the Quran, you will find approximately the same. Who is Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayh? 16th century scholar. He finished off commentating on the Quran what somebody else had started. And at the age of 22, in 40 days, he completed a commentary of the Quran in 40 days at the age of 22, of 15 paras. 15 paras, 40 days at the age of 22. If we had a graduate from any university at the age of 22 who came out with first class 100%, it would be headline news. Not only that, towards the end of his life, he told one of his students, "I'm going to share something with you, don't tell anybody in my lifetime." So his student revealed this, Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh. Not only has he done this commentary, but he has written many other works. He says, "I have seen the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 70 times in my life in non-sleeping, awakened state. While sleeping is a different." On one occasion, Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh, his servant with him, he says, "Grab my hand, let's go and pray." It's from Asyut in Egypt. "Let's go and pray Maghrib in Haram." So the student says, "My Shaykh held my hand. I walked with him, and within a few minutes, I realized I was in front of Haram." Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh says, "My Shaykh said to me that, 'Look, do you recognize these individuals? They've come on the Hajj from our place.'" And then after Maghrib Salah, we left the Haram. He said, "Not only we are here, but they cannot see us, but we can see them." And within a few moments and a few steps, he said, "We were back to where we were." These great individuals who devoted their lives to the study of the Quran, reciting the Quran, and this is how we receive it today. These 3-4 years of efforts that these young kids put, and their tutors. In a nutshell, this is how it came, the taqwa, the purity, the effort, the diligence, the dedication, and today this is how we can open the Quran. Otherwise, this hafiz could not even read the Quran. Such is this effort. So we are grateful to those great individuals. We should do isal al-sawab for these great individuals at these gatherings, because it's because of their efforts that today we are able to open the Quran, recite the Quran, understand the Quran, and apply the Quran in our lives. So this masjid has produced 77 huffaz when these 5 finish. 77. And then an average of 5 every single year. So any donation, money, investment in this masjid, you can put your hand on your heart. Inshallah, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Such is the effort here. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their efforts, these great teachers, and make it a source of elevating and raising the ranks in this world and in the hereafter. One of the great lessons of the Quran in the early stages. When the Mughal period was around, its 6th ruler was Aurangzeb. Last part of the 17th century, 1658 to 1707 approximately, Mughal. One of the allegations that we find against Aurangzeb of his time is that he forcefully converted a lot of Hindus to become Muslim. And there are historical texts written by non-Muslim authors who specialize in history of that area, South Asia, who argue along these lines. Aurangzeb was a ruler, 6th ruler of the Mughal dynasty. Mughal dynasty was that dynasty of India which did something that no other empire could do, and that is rule most of India. So Aurangzeb, one of the allegations against him. What is not much known? Aurangzeb did not take any money from the treasury, although he was the ruler. He had every right to take some money from the public treasury, but he did not. What he did, he wrote the Quran and he sold it as a livelihood. Go home, try writing Qul huwallahu ahad or Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. See how many times you will be reciting it to ensure and make sure that you do it correctly. How many times he will have written out the Quran and he sold it. did not take any money from the public worship. Besides that, he knew 12,000 hadith by heart. Ask any sheikh who may have been teaching hadith for a long time, how many hadith do you know by heart? This is something that is going out of our way of life. Most people in days gone by, Hazrat Mufti Sahib will tell you more, would know at least 40 hadith. In years gone by, we may have known 40 telephone numbers. But nowadays, we don't even know our own. 40 hadith was a must. Most individuals knew 40 hadith. This is the ruler of his age knew 12,000 hadith by heart. An-nasu ala dini muluki. People are according to the wavelength of their rulers. And in nowadays, one broadcast after another, one political party after another, presenting its vision for the next 4 or 5 years. Whether it's the Green Party, the Conservatives, Labour, Lib Dems, or the Loony Party. Each one presenting its vision. When the Rabi'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent, he was one of the soldiers under Hazrat Sa'd bin Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was sent to present the vision of Islam and the vision of the Quran to the Persian Empire. They were waiting for him, expecting an individual who would approach them with great pomp and dignity and a sense of arrogance about him. But he came with his weak animal, disheveled in appearance, tatty clothes, and a sword that was put together with metal and wood tied together. And he entered this palace to present the case of Islam and present the vision of the Quran. And he asked, "What do you bring? What have you come?" He says, "I come to present you freedom. Freedom of choice. Freedom of speech." These would have been the buzzwords of the last 12 months. Freedom of choice. Freedom of speech. If you look at Article number 10 of the European Union and 10.1, you will find more details on this. Rabi'i ibn Amir went there. He says, "You want freedom? Real freedom is لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ." You want real freedom? Real freedom is in the idea that we take you out of serving mankind and deliver you to serving your Creator. That is real freedom. You will know the story of Nelson Mandela, who was locked up in Robben Island. Myself and Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sahib sat here. We visited the cell. It's now available as a virtual educational tool on the internet. His idea was to free the blacks, give them equal rights. Malcolm X, his idea in the 60s in America was to free the blacks, give them equal status. Those signs where blacks cannot sit here, this is reserved for whites, had to go. And these were ideas of the white and the black race issues which were fought at that time. Rabi'i ibn Amir says freedom is not a white and black issue here. Freedom here is that you free yourself from the slavery of mankind and deliver yourself to the slavery of Allah. لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. And we deliver you from the narrowness of this world to the vastness of the hereafter. That is freedom. وَمِنْ ظُلْمِ الْأَدْيَانِ وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ إِنْسَافِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And from the oppression and tyranny of multiple faiths and ideas to the justice of Islam. Let's try and understand our justice. Justice. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Who was Sayyidina Ali? Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who grew up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was the privilege. He grew up. It's a long story how he grew up in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. Nevertheless, he did. He was a young man, just hitting his 20s when the migration happened, and he stayed overnight in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guard his place. And in the morning when people came inside and they found Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone, he was the one who was completing a few tasks that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him to complete, and then he went on his way to Madinatul Munawwara. En route, he injured himself. The soles of his feet had blisters. He had open wounds on his soles. When he reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mosque, he could barely walk. People were absolutely delighted Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had reached Madinatul Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him. He had to send a message out of necessity that please tell Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm unable to walk. So the Sahaba was told, carry him, bring him. Say, Ali, what happened? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm able to walk now. I've come from Makkah to Medina and I'm unable to walk. My soles of my feet have so many blisters. So Ali, come here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his purified saliva and ran his hand, his blessed palm, on the soles of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's feet. Not only did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala grow up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he had his blessed saliva on his soles. And what was the impact of that? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, for the rest of my living days, I had no problems walking. I could walk over the most roughest of terrains. Thorny bushes, any stones, any pebbles, I had absolutely no problem. On another occasion, before Khaybar came under the influence and command of the Muslim community, overnight, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu became ill. His eye had swollen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced, tomorrow, Khaybar will come under the rule of the Muslim community. This was a big, big headline news event. Because Khaybar had been under the control of the Jewish community. It was an Arab land. Date palms were growing there. A lot of the dates in Medina were coming from that land, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to engage in a contract of how these dates were to be distributed, who was to look after it, who was to cultivate it, and these are all maslas and rulings that come under Kitabul Buyu in books of hadith. Each companion was like in a primary school when teachers about to give a sweet or a gift out and the young kids are saying, miss me, miss me. These Sahaba were so keen that Khaybar's flag of victory would come in their hand. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأُؤْتِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّعْيَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ يَفْتَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him. He loves Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory to him. Everybody is jumping up and down to be noticed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they would get this flag. And he asked, I cannot see Ali, where is he? So, Ya Rasulullah, he's ill. So what is the matter with him? Ya Rasulullah, his eye is swollen, so bring him. He is brought in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for an audience with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Says, what is the matter, Ali? Ya Rasulullah, look at my eye swollen. This is the second occasion when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got his purified saliva and ran his palm over his eye. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, I never had a problem with that eye again. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his time of being Khalifa, in his time, from 656 to 661, in his time, according to the common era dates. On one occasion, a Jewish person, and this community lived in Medina, and had lived in Medina for a long time, stole his armor and refused to give it back. Not only did he refuse to give it back, he denied it was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Imagine the scene in your mind if somebody takes the keys of your new BMW and says, "This is mine." We'd probably see a different person. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "This is mine." Not only did he deny it, but he said, "Okay, prove it to me, this is yours. And if you can't prove it to me, bring witnesses or take the case to court." The case is taken to court, and who is the judge? Qazi Shureh. Qazi Shureh was the judge, chief judge in the court, and the ruler, the caliph of the age is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And who is brought to court? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. If I was to give you an example, imagine in Bolton Crown Court, the Queen is brought for an issue. Just as we find this unimaginable, but this is Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu coming to the witness box now. And Qazi Shureh is listening to the case. And he says, the rules of this court are, he asked the Jewish person, "Do you deny or do you accept that this is stolen armor and it belongs to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala?" He says, "No, this is mine. I deny it. This is mine." Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "You will have to produce two witnesses then if you want to claim your armor back." But there is a technical issue here. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had two witnesses. One was his son, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and one was his liberated freed slave, Kumbur. According to numbers, two witnesses. But in the court of Qazi Shureh, the principle was that a son cannot testify in favor of the father. It would be seen as unjust. It may be interpreted to be biased, prejudiced behavior. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala's principle was a son can testify in favor of the father. But the judge in the court, Qazi Shureh, is saying no. The principle in this court is a son cannot testify in favor of the father. You cannot present your son, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, as a witness. So we have one witness left. You can present Kumbur, your freed slave, because he is now free, he's independent of you. So you have one witness. You have no other witness. If you have no other witness, then according to the rules of this court, the case has to be thrown out. And you cannot get your armor back. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even though he was the Khalifa, Khalifatul Muslimin, the Caliph of the Muslim, accepted the decision. And the Jewish person walks out of court. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala walks out of court. The Jewish person notices no blemish on his face at all, accepted the decision as it was. The Jewish person said, "Ali radiallahu anhu, you accepted this?" And yes, this is the rule. This is justice. He says, "Here you are, it is your armor. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." As Rabi'i ibn Amir said, "Min jawr al-adiyan ila insaf al-Islam," that the justice, a basic spiritual value of that Quran that we have passed down, that Islam was not spread by the sword, rather it was spread by the justice behavior of these great individuals. There are many other stories of a similar nature. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his behavior accepted, the Jewish person accepted Islam, and many other similar stories. So in summary, these great individuals, these great kids, we are here to acknowledge their efforts and, more important, participate in the dua which is accepted at the completion of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their completion, the teacher's efforts, the efforts of the committee people here and the treasurers here and the efforts of this, and all of you have participated. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.